worship. My name is Elizabeth. I serve in the village as one of the pastors here. And starting with our summer worship rhythms, Monday night is will be our theme vespers, which is when we lift up the theme of our summer, made known in the breaking of the bread from Luke 24. And so leading us in a reflection on that text and theme is a member of our teaching staff these 2 weeks, Matthew Olson, our village musician. And all you need for worship tonight is a red hymnal. And so please open it to hymn 716, and we will sing together.
To which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what has happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The great American conductor Robert Shaw once began a lecture at Harvard by saying, "You will soon come to realize why we conductors are rarely, if ever, given a microphone." His dry wit seems appropriate tonight, as I, a musician by trade, have the opportunity to explore a few thoughts with you tonight on this summer's village theme, to be known in the breaking of the bread. out of gratitude for your polite and or feigned attention, I can promise at least two bits of good news. Firstly, when I'm done talking, hopefully sooner than later, we'll sing one of my favorite hymns by John Sibelius, and I think you'll appreciate that. And secondly, if that doesn't whet your appetite, I do believe the snack shop is open directly afterwards. And Lisa tells me there's ice cream aplenty. Is that correct,
yes.
Lisa? Okay, cool. The breaking of the bread, that paradoxical gesture of oneness, of wholeness, of that sacrifice of all sacrifices from which our Christian understanding of salvation derives. And yet, what does it mean to be known in the breaking of the bread? To be known through salvation, or simply to be known? 4 years ago, while I was teaching halftime at Aquinas College in Grand Rapids, Michigan, I also moonlighted as a server to make ends meet. There I met a coworker I'll call Ryan, and from, though it's a bit harsh to say, from the first time I met him, I did not enjoy being around him very much. First, Ryan was terribly inauthentic. Even as we gathered after long shifts together and we were just taking some time in with staff, he seemed to really struggle to be himself. Secondly, he was extremely headstrong. Even though he was a new server, he wouldn't listen to the experienced servers or even his bosses. And thirdly, Ryan had the intimidating physique of an Olympian weightlifter. Like, even more buff than me. He was like... After working together for a few weeks, with my irritation only growing, Ryan asked if he could buy me a beer following a very long and grueling shift. And I begrudgingly said yes because I thought, well, at the very worst, I'll get a free beer out of it. And there I sat, next to him at the bar at this restaurant in Michigan, and nauseating small talk and my feigned interest in Detroit baseball eventually led me to ask, so what's your story? While just 24 years old at that time, Ryan had lived in 19 different states. His mother was a strong, compassionate, and dedicated parent, who I later got to know pretty well. His father, however, became a very violent cocaine addict when he was just 4 or 5 years old. Upon the completion of each new jail sentence, he would come after Ryan and his mother, and therefore they lived a life on the road from town to town, from state to state, and for Ryan as he was growing up from school to school. As Ryan shared his story, I began reflecting on the very traits that I disliked about him, and I experienced some Lutheran guilt, no doubt. He became so ingenuine, because every time he moved to a new school or a new town, he was forced to move just as meaningful relationships were forming. He became so headstrong, because as long as he could remember, he was the only man of the house person, his mom working two jobs to make sure they had enough food on the table. And he became so physically strong because since he was in middle school and high school, he was the only defense mechanism to prevent his mother from receiving another beating. At the end of Ryan's story, as I sat stunned, he got up and paid for our beers and said, "Thanks for listening, Matthew. This turned out to be an okay birthday after all." His story gave me an unforgettable gift of what I'll call breaking open. Those rare life experiences when our knowledge, our truth, or our perspective is questioned by beyond our own naivety, our judgment, or ignorance. Yet paradoxically, it is so often this jarring act of breaking open which helps us to know and to be known in this world. Author Parker Palmer so wisely reminds us that the inherency of paradox is that we can't have one without the other. Weak and strong, darkness and light, grief and compassion, loss and growth. To be known in the breaking of the bread is to live in love amidst the imperfections of human becoming. Not just the obvious becomings of infancy or adolescence, but those lifelong becomings that accompany a lifelong search for truth, for good, for love. A second story, a bit shorter than the first. Can you smell the ice cream? 2 years ago, I ended an academic year as a graduate student, far from balanced, healthy, or happy. A growing disconnect was brewing between my personal sense of purpose and my exhausting workload that just left me feeling so far from true self. And I know we all have had that moment. You know who you want to be, and you just can't seem to get there. The summer promised opportunity for renewal, first by visiting Holden, and then by going to France to study with a conductor I had long admired. But when I arrived in the southern city of Périgueux, my luggage had been lost by Delta, and they later found it. And my wallet had been stolen en route from Bordeaux on the train. And so amidst a foreign country, a foreign culture, a foreign language and city, all I had to my name was my passport, the clothes I was wearing, and my father's old Gibson guitar that I carry around with me when I travel. And so for the first time in my life, I began to busk in the ancient city's winding streets. And though familiar and comfortable with performing at this point in my life, I was so nervous by this never experienced extreme of vulnerability. I played not out of courage, but only of hope for a hotel bed for the night, not to mention hopeful crepes and wine. It's France, after all. The majority of those passing by me were mothers on their cell phones en route to market. And they were far too busy to take notice of me, city, as I was seated and singing in the corner. Yet the height of their like 3 to 5 year olds were at perfect eye level for me. And one particular boy offered a second gift of breaking open. As he took growing interest in this foreign man singing a foreign language in his city, his mother paused her phone conversation to offer him some coins to toss in my guitar case. But the youngster, guessing he was just about 3 years old, he slowly waddled right past my open guitar case, and he started to reach his hand out. And so I thought, oh, he must want me to personally receive this gift of his. And so I stopped playing, I reached my hand out, and I said the only French phrase I knew at the time, merci beaucoup, and he wound up and with all of his might threw the coins in the sound hole of my guitar. And the crowd laughed, and the mother was terrified. But the boy offered me a smile. He offered a smile and a hug I will never forget. Now, the gift I received in my understanding that day was not just a memorable embrace and an endearing smile and a euro. Which is decent money, thank you. It was the affirmation of my vulnerable self being heard and accepted for just who I was, for just a moment. It was as if his simple act of listening and acknowledging me served the purpose of saying, you are heard, you are loved, and you are known. Author Brené Brown says, vulnerability is the first thing that I look for in you, but the last thing I hope you see in me. What a poignant paradox. To me, being known in the breaking of the bread is being known in our honest becoming and belonging. The becoming and belonging within our broader communities, despite facing inevitable discord. The becoming and belonging within our families as we hold each other up amidst the paradoxes of our own individual lives. And first and foremost, the becoming and belonging within self, without whom we cannot pursue the two great commandments we strive to live by, to love God and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. In the words of Rabbi Hillel, if I am not for myself, who is for me? If I am only for myself, what am I? And if not now, when? Amen. now sing This Is My Song, hymn 887.